Okay. So, yesterday we were in the middle of discussing the issue of Kohen Gadol, Shenaseh ben Grusha ben Chalutza. We pretty much finished it off. I just wanted to mention, halacha lamaisa, there are some cases that have come up in the halachic literature. There is a tshuva of the Chavis Yor. I didn't give it to you on the Mar Makamos, but it's in Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. The Shas and Tshuva's Chavis Yor. The Chavis Yor, if you don't know, was one of the early Achronim, Rav Yoyer Bachrach, and he has some very important tshuvas. And he discusses a case where there was a certain Kohen, and he was acting like a Kohen, doing all the regular things a Kohen does. And he, which included Pidyon HaBen, he had officiated at a number of Pidyon HaBens and stuff like that. And then somebody came from out of town who recognized this particular Kohen and says, I know your whole family and I know you're not a Kohen. So he didn't, I don't know, it doesn't say whether he accused him of lying on purpose or just by accident that he thought he was a Kohen. It doesn't really matter. And he basically said, you're not a Kohen and I can prove it. And he took a Shvua D'Oraisa. He said he swore that the guy wasn't a Kohen. And he says, if you just wait a little longer, I'll get some evidence. I'll write back to my hometown and I'll bring some documentation that you're definitely not a Kohen. Okay, so that was the accusation. And the major gist of the Chavis Yor's tshuva is to discuss whether or not we believe this guy. Do we believe the accusatory individual that this fellow is not a Kohen? Or not, and you know, he goes back and forth discussing the different issues. That's not nogeya to us at all. What is nogeya to us is that he says, what about all these kids upon whom he did a pidyon haben? Do they need another pidyon haben or not? So the Chavis Yor says they definitely do need another pidyon haben, which is pretty straightforward, I think. Right? So he discusses, well, does he have to give back the money? Do they have to make a bracha at the new pidyon haben? So these are all things that come up in that tshuva. And the Chavis Yor brings in as a raya that they definitely do need another pidyon haben, this machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua, the inyan of Kohen that was doing the avodah, and it turned out that it was a ben grusha ben chalutza. And he said that since, and not only that, but he bring in the machlokas in our Gemara over here, whether we paskin, right, that if the Kohen is, the Kohen Gadol turns out to be Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, so do we have the machlokas Amuraim, whether or not we say Mesa Kehuna, or whether we say Butla Kehuna. And he says, look in the Rambam paskins, which way? Butla Kehuna. So he says, clearly, this guy is considered a Kohen that was Nisbatel, and therefore the kids need a new pidyon haben. That's the raya that he offers. He says, Naniach, if we would have held Mesa Kehuna, okay, I could have said they don't need a new pidyon haben. But we don't hold that way. We say, Butla Kehuna, that the guy was Keilu, never a Kohen, and therefore they do need a new pidyon haben. He says, in terms of whether or not he has to give back the money, there it's already Hamotzi Mechaveru Lav Haraya on the money, that the guy has to legitimately prove that this fellow is not a Kohen, in order to take back, you know, the 5 slime that you give. Okay, that's a different discussion for a different time. But what's the major problem with that line of reasoning in the Chavis Yor? Again, it's impossible to say, because, you know, Chavis Yor certainly knew how to learn, but it's really a klutz kasha that you could ask, that he really dropped the ball. And I'm not the only one who asked this kasha, but it jumps out at you. It jumps out at you. The Pischei Tshuva quotes, this Chavis Yor came onto it from the Pischei Tshuva in Ilchus Pidyon HaBen. The Marim Makom on the Pischei Tshuva is Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Simen Shin Hei Sifkatan Hei in the Pischei Tshuva. So Pischei Tshuva quotes a sefer that I don't have access to, Shalos and Tshuva's Yad Elio. If you want a Marim Makom in the Shalos and Tshuva's Yad Elio, in case you ever get a copy, it's Simen Lamed Zayin in the Shalos and Tshuva's Yad Elio. I don't know anything about the Yad Elio except that something to do with Lublin. And so it says in the parentheses, Yad Elio, parentheses, Lublin. Okay. The Yad Elio, you want to know what Simon Lamed Zion. in the Yad Eliyahu. But again, I don't have access to a Shalach Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu, but the Pesachei Tshuva quotes it. You can rest assured any sefer the Pesachei Tshuva quotes is a legitimate sefer saying. But so what's the obvious kasha? No, that's for the avoda. No, that's good for the point. Meaning, even though we say according to we pass on the Rabbi Yeshua, that's only for the avoda. That's not going to apply to Pinyan Aben. No, that's not the avoda. That's a schus of the kohen, regular schus of the kohen. Okay, let me backtrack because there's no way you don't ask this kasha unless you're just not hearing me. Okay, let's try again. The case was that a guy comes from afar and says, "I know this guy's family. He's not a kohen." Let's assume he proved it. So then he says, certainly. So the Chavis Yaris says, certainly in a case where the guy could prove that he wasn't a kohen or he had legitimate raya's or whatever. So then we would say that these kids need a new pinyan aben. Aye, what about the man? What about Rabbi Yeshua Shita that Tavod is good? That's only if we paskin Mesa Kehuna. We paskin Butla Kehuna. Aye, what about the Avoda? That's only Minyan Avoda because we quote the Pasuk, right? We quote the Pasuk that only applies to the Avoda. We say Baruch Hashem Chela Polel Yadav Yirtzeh, right? So that's why. But if we would have said Mesa Kehuna, say Nachinami, the Pinyan Abens would have been good. Guys, come on. Let's try again. But no, seriously, I'm not only doing it to make fun of you. I'm also trying to get you to pick up on this point. Again, the guy comes from afar. What does he say? You're not a Kohen. He's not saying you're a Cholol. He's not saying the guy is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. We're saying that he's not a Kohen. He's a Zar. He's a Yisrael. So what kind of Baruch Hashem Chelo Pol Yad of Yirtze is there for a Zar? There's no legitimacy to that Avoda. This is not Tully in the Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, or the Machlokas over here at Amoraim at all. This is a case of a Zar. So the Chavis Yar seems to be saying that the Pasuk of Baruch Hashem Chelo Pol Yad of Yirtze is talking even when it's not really Chelo. Baruch Hashem Chelo, his troops, his chevra, these kohanim, have the special bracha that Hashem will always be appeased by their Maisi Yadayim, regardless of whether or not they're chalalim or they're legitimate kohanim. But that's not talking about a czar that does the avoda. You hear? It's a special chiddush for Shevet Kehuna. So there we're machalik between the avoda, where we say it's like Mesa Kehuna, or even a little bit better than Mesa Kuna, because we said the Rambam paskins that b'di'eved mikanu lahaba, his avod is still good. But lemafreya and lemafreya b'di'eved it was good. But if we say Mesa Kuna, then it wouldn't be good. So if we would say Mesa Kuna, so okay, if the guy was a cholol, you could argue that the pinyan abens that he did in the previous years all still count. That's going to be the Machlokas Amoraim over here. That could be the Machlokas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, perhaps. Right? But we paskin Batla Kehuna, so even that wouldn't be good, because it's not called Avoda. But we're not talking about a Kohen. We're talking about a guy who claimed he was a Kohen, but is really a Zar. So there's no Pasuk that says that his Pinyan Aben is good, b'di'eved. Right? All the Pesukim are Dafka talking about Kohanim. So you see, it's an obvious kasha. So now you don't have to be a big lambda to ask this kasha. Which is why I'm not, there's obviously a good teretz, but I don't know what it is. Right? You're not going to catch the Chavis Yair on this, like, really obvious kasha, but I really have no idea what the answer is. And again, it's on the books that this kasha stands. The Yad Eliyahu basically says, what are you talking about? This is not nogea at all to a guy who isn't a Kohen. You have to be a Kohen for this to apply. Okay. That's the kasha of the Yad Eliyahu. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes in Shulchan Aruch. And the Yad Eliyahu has an additional comment where first he wants to say that you do the Pinyan Aben again with a bracha. Then he says that's only when the guy turns out to be a Zar. What if he turns out to be a Chola like our Gemara? So he says an interesting vart. I really don't understand why he's saying it. Yad Eliyahu says, then you do the Pinyan Aben again without a bracha. Why? So like we said yesterday, at the beginning of the sugya, because since we don't know which Amora says which Deya, right, we're not 100% sure, because if you read the Gemara, right, I asked that trick question yesterday. I said, who says what? The answer is, we don't know. We don't know the answer. It's a machlokes amorayim, but we can't put one Deya into one sheet, right? We're stuck. It says, Pligi bar Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Chadamar Meisakuna, v'Chadamar Batlakuna. So I said yesterday, there is a shtickle nafkamina, according to this Yad Elio. Since we don't know who said what, we don't come out with a clear psak halacha. We don't come out, we can't say b'toras vadai who holds which, and therefore we don't have any like klalei hapsak to apply to which amora we always paskin like, or which amora we paskin like in which one. Like we have hilchos kirav bisure and hilchos kishmul bedine, or we have rav Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, or we have Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, except in three cases. Right, the problem with even those klalei hapsak is all of them apply except when they don't. Right, the Rishonim say, yeah, they always. That's really the rule, but there's an exception to the rule. And it comes out, you wind up with a lot of exceptions to the rule. Right, we always pass like Abaye against Rav against Abaye, except for Yal Kagam. The Gemara says that straight out. Except there are other cases where we also pass like Abaye. Right, so that's the Rishonim work on all those cases. You know, say why they're exceptions to the rule. But the Yad Elio seems to be saying, since we don't know who said what, we don't come out with a clear psak. The Rambam didn't seem to have that problem. The Rambam said, here's the psak. Look at the stum of the Gemara. We have the Kesef Mishnah saying it's because of the Gemara Kedushin. We have the Stipler saying it's because of the Gemara Psachim. Right? So I don't see why the Yad Elio can't just come to a clear conclusion that we paskin but l'kehuna. I don't think to hang your hat on the Rambam is not the end of the world. You know, I don't think that's... What? Yeah, but at the end of the day, if he comes out with a clear psak halacha on the Gemara... And you don't have, it's not that Tosfos argues and says, no, we dafka have an, it's an ibaya de lo of shita, or it's, you know, or it's not so clear how we paskin, or it's, or we're dafka gonna paskin, mesa kihuna, not butla kihuna. It's not like you have Ashkenazi Rishonim arguing against the Rambam, right? So it's not that our Masorah is dafka to do it this way and their Masorah is doing it. Let me backtrack for a second. We don't not paskin like the Rambam because he's a Sephardi. Okay? It's very, something needs to be very clear. Do you know why we don't passing like the Rambam? What? No, meaning half the time we do passing like the Rambam. I'd say, what is it? More than three quarters of Shulchan Aruch is just excerpts copy-pasted from the Mishnah Torah. Right? So we often do passing like the Rambam. It's only when there's a Machlokes Rishonim and the Tosos or the Rush or the Hagos Maimini or the Mordechai or one of that school... They disagree with the Rambam sometimes, the Ravid, or you know, whatever, whoever you're dealing with in that context, right? So why do we paskin like the Ashkenazi Rishonim against the Sephardi Rishonim? So what? Yes, that's our Masorah. Meaning, they asked the question from the Rush when they were in Germany, and the Rush paskin the Shiloh for them. So that's what they started doing, and that's what their sons did, and that's what their sons did. You know, or they asked the question from whichever Rishon was local to them. He was the Rosh Yeshiva or the chief rabbi or whatever in their district, in their area, and that's what became the Minhag HaMakom. So then when the tour came to codify the halachas, so he paskined the way the Minhag had been, / the way he thought it was correct. He went based on his Masorah, and that followed through to the, you know, all the Chachmei Ashkenazli, and including the Ramah, started including all the Minhagim of the Maril, and all of the different Hanhagas of the Bnei Ashkenaz. But that's not because we dafka think the Rambam is more right than Tosos, or more wrong than Tosos. That's an irrelevant factor. It's because in certain countries, they asked all their Shailas to the Rambam. And in certain countries, they asked all the Shailas to the Balei Tosos. That's just who was there to paskin the Shaila. We clear on this? So it's not that one is more right than the other. It's just that was the Masorah that we had. So that became the Minhag Ashkenaz, that became the Minhag of Sfarad. That's, you know. And then when the Shulchan Aruch got to Paskin Mishailas, so he did his shtick of best two out of three. So the best two out of three, often the Rambam and the Riff are going to agree versus the Rush. You know, so that had a major influence as well. But Sof Kol Sof, it's a Masorah thing, it's not a right and wrong thing. So if the Rambam paskins this halacha and nobody argues on him, and why didn't anybody argue on him? Because it was irrelevant to halacha l'maisa, mostly. it applies to this case that I'm talking about now in terms of whether, if he did the pinyan haben, right, etc. But mostly it's irrelevant, halacha lemaisa. It's a shaila in the avoda. It's a shaila in going to golus. And none of that was nogeya halacha lemaisa to the Rush, who only wrote about halacha lemaisa. None of that was nogeya to the Riff, who only wrote halacha lemaisa. The Rambam paskin these shailas for all time. Right? That's why they say b'shem the Chafetz Chaim that when it comes to kudshim shailas, as they came up, as Zroim and kudshim and all that stuff came up, the Chafetz Chaim definitely, when it came to kudshim, placed a heavy emphasis on the Piskei Halacha of the Rambam, because he felt that the Rambam specialized in those areas as much as he specialized in Nashim and Ezekin, and you know, and I guess Moed, right? Moed, Nashim, Ezekin. He the Rambam did kudshim and Taras and Zroim the same way he did everything else. So the Chafetz Chaim felt a particular affinity for the Piskei Halacha of the Rambam. Right, that's why if you go to Machon HaMikdash, they do everything like the Rambam. That's they say the Chafetz Chaim said, and Kachim you do like the Rambam. Okay, I don't know if that's the only game in town. Is that the only way to say it? The Chafetz Chaim said it, so that's it? I don't know. But Lamaisa, that's what happened. What? I don't know. A cousin. He's got a lot of cousins. Anyway, so... Okay, that leads to a lot of cousins. Okay, so good. All right, so what else? So that psak of the Adelio, I can't really explain, but that's what's on the books. One other point he mentions on the top of Daf Yud Beis of an Aleph, he says, not only am I not so comfortable with the psak of the Rambam, but if you read the pashtas of our sugya, it sounds much more like we paskin like the Manda Amar Mesa Kehuna. Why? So this is a klal that some of the Rishonim use, right? That when you have a kasha and a teretz, that's worse than if there was no kasha at all. Again, sometimes the Gemara will have one shita, and they'll have 10 kashas and 10 tirutzim in a row to answer up that shita. And the Rosh or the Riff or somebody will say, listen, all of those tirutzim are great, but the bottom line is I'll rather paskin like the guy with no kashas and no tirutzim than the guy with 10 kashas and 10 tirutzim. Because sof kol sof, he's got 10 kashas against him that he needs to answer. Right? So I'm going to go with the guy who has no kashas. So the Yad Eliyahu wants to say along those lines, here also, listen, it says, the man, Damar holds Mesa Kehuna, he fits right into Shitas Rabbi Yoshua. And therefore, I'm going to paskin, I'm going to say that the mashmos of the sugya is that we paskin Mesa Kehuna, not Butla Kehuna. You hear? Okay, I don't find that overly compelling, especially again in light of there is a psak on the books, but at least Le'inyin, Suffolk Brachos, the Yad Eliyahu was not willing to go so far as to say do a pinyan haben with a bracha, unless it was like the case of the Chavis Yair, that of course you would do another pinyan haben with the bracha, because the guy was a chol. But if the guy was, obviously, because the guy was a zor, if the guy was a chol, then he's not willing to let you make a bracha. Okay, that's the end of that. Let's move on now. We're actually moving a little bit backwards, back to the Mishnah, but the Mishnah on Yud Aleph and Beis and the Sugya on Yud Beis and Aleph. Oh, excuse me, we're going actually farther back than that. We're combining this the Gemara on Yud Aleph and Beis with the Mishnah on Yud Aleph and Beis and the Gemara on Yud Beis and Aleph. Okay? So it's we're covering a lot of different topics and discussing whether or not they are related. All right, so what do we have in our Gemara on Daf Yud Amid Beis? We have the statement of Rav Huna, right? Let's take a look. It's the first medium-sized wide line, medium wide. I'm not sure if that's an oxymoron. It's the medium lines, but they are wider than the thin lines, and they're not as thin as the wide lines. Okay, you see it? Everybody have it? So, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna. Va'amri lo amrav huna, amrav lozer, minator, oh no, I'm way off. Sorry, I'm totally off. Sorry about that. Five lines in. Amrav huna, rotzeach shegol lir miklot, umatzo gol adam v'horgo, potter. Kosovar, v'lo in mishpat mavis, v'gol adam u'dechsiv. Fine, and then we ask kashas back and forth. We try to darshan the psukim correctly. But sof kol sof, we're left with this interesting psak halacha. There was a rotzeach that was going to the ir miklot, and the gol adam found him and killed him. What's the din? Potter. So right off the bat, you have to ask a kasha. What time it in the chronology of the sequence of the goal Adam slash Rotzeach, what time period is this taking place in? That's the first question we got to figure out. So this becomes a machlokas rishonim. Who says what? The first time the Ritva says? Where's that Ritva? You guys have a copy of the Ritva here? I didn't bring mine. Doesn't mashma anything. I don't know. I don't see any mashmos. No, again, there's two times that a rotzeach goes to an ir mikla. When he kills the guy the first time, then he goes to ir mikla, right? Then Beis Din takes him out. He goes to court, and eventually they decide: is he going to go back to their mikla, or is he going to be chayav misa, or is he just going to do nothing? Right? That's the sequence. So we're obviously talking about one of the two times that he goes to the Yermikla. I don't think the Ritva is mashma one way or the other. You think it's mashma one way or the other? Why? I'm saying, why is that the first time? I don't think he's mashma anything. Right? If anything, you could argue he's mashma the second time, because the psukim over there are discussing the case where he's already chayiv gos. So if anything, it's mashma the second time. What? Well, that's the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right. So again, Pashmashan, the Gemara, I would have said, is it's talking about a case where he went to gos, meaning he was chayiv gos. Now you could argue, but chayiv gos doesn't dafka mean the second time. It could be that he's chayiv golos after he kills the guy. He's got to first go there, and then he's got to come out and go to court. So it's not 100% clear that it's dafka talking about the second time. But haraya, we find Rishonim that say it's talking about both the first and the second time. But lamaisa, I think the Pashup Shah in the Gemara is talking about the second time. Right, so Rashi and the Bach's interpretation of Rashi, see, they don't tell you whether it's talking about the first time or the second time, but they tell you it's definitely not talking about a guy who was chayiv golus and left, because that's a machlokes tanaim later on. That's the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Right there we say for sure the guy can, the gol adam can kill him, and the only machlokes is it a reshus or is it a mitzvah? But it's clearly talking about when he was on his way to Golis, not when he's coming out of Golis. So I would have thought that we're dafka talking about once the guy was chayiv Golis, meaning the second time he goes to Golis. However, if you look in the Rambam, in Perakei and Hilchos Rotzeach, Halachos Tes through Yud, you find that the Rambam seems to say it makes no difference. Makes no difference when he's going. Right? You guys saw that Rambam? Seems to say if he's going the first time, he's going the second time, irrelevant. As long if he's outside the Yer Miklat, he kills him, he's potter. Finished. That's the Rambam. And the Me'iri says the same thing. The Me'iri says that we're talking about the Rotzeach gets killed by the Gol Adam before he goes into the Yer Miklat, whether it's the first time or the second time. It's irrelevant. So, in order to explain why it's important if he's going there the first time or the second time, let's take a step back and let's try to analyze Shitas Rav Huna. Why would someone say that if the Gol Adam kills him, he's potter? What does that mean to you? Like, would you categorize that as a chiyuv, mitzvah, rishus? Us potter aval usser. What? It says he's potter. So what is? So how do you? What do you categorize that as? It's a reshus. Okay. What about mitzvah? Hard to say mitzvah. It says then it would have said mitzvah. Biyad gol adam lahorgo, right? What about Pater Aval Aser? Meaning the Gemara says Pater often means Pater Aval Aser. It means you're not Chayav Misa, but you're not allowed to do it. What? Nah, yeah, you could say much better. What's what? Right? What? Who? It's also for the goal of Adam to kill him until he gets there. I'm saying if the guy sits around and says, I'm not going, maybe then it's different. That's a machlokes achronim, but I think it's a davar pashut. If the guy says, I'm not going, that's no worse than if he went and comes out, right? It's no better, actually, than if he went and comes out. For sure, there, we're going to have the same machlokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, whether it's a mitzvah or a rishus. That's Chazon Ish says that. But you don't need to be the Chazon Ish to say that. It's l'chora davar pashut, no? But anyway, what's the reason why I don't want to say Pater Aval Aser? Give me an example of something that's Pater Aval Aser. What? Issud the Rabbanan. Right? Right? Usually, Pater Aval Aser means Issud the Rabbanan. B'dieved, you're not punished. That's very derabbanan dikaloshim. It sounds very derabbanan. Here, we're clearly talking about deraisas. If we're darshening a pusik, and Rav Huna is saying that he's putter from getting misa, so you're going to tell me that it means that it's usser, putter aval usser mena Torah? Now, I'm not saying there's no such thing as a b'dieved versus a lechachila mena Torah. There is such a thing, but it's not so common. So to me, it's a davar pashut ad ma'od that we're talking about reshus. We're not talking about Pater Aval Aser. However, just to be intellectually honest, we're going to have to figure out what the pshat in that ritva is. The ritva later on Daf Yud Beis seems to say that Minat Torah, we're talking about Pater Aval Aser. Okay? So let's hold that thought. We'll try to work on that later. There is a Rishon who says we're talking Pater Aval Aser here. Or maybe not even here, but maybe in the Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, where we talk about Shar Kol Adam, right? You remember, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's a mitzvah for the Gol Adam, and for Shar Kol Adam, it's a reshus. And for Rabbi Akiva, it's a reshus for the Gol Adam, and for Shar Kol Adam, we don't know, right? It's a machlokis in the Girsos. It's a machlokis in the Girsos. One Girsa, the Girsa of our Mishnah, which is based on the Girsa of the Maharshal, the Girsa of our Mishnah says any other person who does it is Chayev Misa. Right? And the Girsa of Rov Rishonim and the Girsa of the Vilna Gaon and the Masoreis HaShas is that you are putter. So the Ritva, in commenting on that Machlokes, says that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds Shar Kol Adam is a Rishus, and Rabbi Akiva holds Shar Kol Adam is Mutter B'Di'avid, or Eino Nenash B'Di'avid. But it's Aser. That's what we call Putter Aver Aser. So it's a little weird. I have to figure that out. But let's go with simple svaras today. Let's just go with the basics. Very hard to say that we're talking Pater Aval Aser when it comes to a Doraisa level. So Rav Huna is discussing a case where if he kills him, he's Pater. It sounds like we're holding it to Rishus. So now here's the question. Is this day of Rav Huna shayach to the Machlokes, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva later on? Where? What do you say? Why is he going past it?
Well, he's saying it's already potter. When you're already potter, we're assuming that it's a reshus. He's already one step further than Machlok. It's already, Machlok is on his own reshus or chiv, like all that.
Right.
And he's going one step further. He's already saying, I already know it's reshus.
So he sounds like, wait, based on what you're saying, he paskins like Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Okay. So he is involved in the machlokas. He paskins like Rabbi Akiva. He's telling you that halachas like Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Okay. That's one possibility. What else? You could argue differently. You could argue, say, he's not getting involved at all. You could say, there's two different cases. The Mishnah on Yad Aleph Amud Beis is saying, if the guy was already in the Ir Miklat, he was already in the Ir Miklat, then he came out, maybe that's different. Here we're talking about he never got there yet. Maybe it's a different halacha. So let's analyze this and try to figure out why might there be a different halacha. Why might there be a different halacha, guys? So let's take a step back. We had a classic hakira that we keep going back to. That's what happens when you have these prakim that have one long theme, right? You have classic hakira that we keep going back to is what is the status, what's the din gol adam based on, right? Is the guy chayev misa, the rotzeach's chayev misa, just he has protection from the amiklat? Or maybe no, maybe gol adam is a special din, like law of the jungle, saying that if somebody kills your relative, you can kill him. Maybe that's the pshat. So what do you think? So first of all, so who do we have lined up in these different opinions? We have people lined up already, right? Who do we line up where? What? No. I mean in this chakira that I just mentioned. Right, we have the Ritva and the Ramban lined up as saying that it's Mamash Chayiv Misa. The guy's Chayiv Misa. The Gol Adam must be some kind of Shliach Beis Din. And therefore, if you hold that way, when's it going to be Chayiv Misa? When the Gol Adam catches him? No, he's Chayiv Misa before that. When's he going to be Chayiv Misa? Once he kills the guy? Disagree. If you're a Rotzeach, you kill the guy b'meis din, when are you Chayiv Misa? Once Beis Din paskins, you killed B'shogeg, right? Then you get a Chal Hashem Chayiv Misa on you, and you have to go to Galus to protect yourself from this Chayiv. No, that's the holding cell. That's a different issue. But clearly if you hold that there's a Chayiv Misa that's Chal on him, that's going to be totally in the Psak Din of Beis Din, no? I mean, just take a step back. If we were learning the first parak, we would discuss this much more in detail. Because they talk about the Edom Zomimim are not Chayiv until the Gemar Din, right? You know that Gemara? So then you can have a Chakira within that is what's the Yisod of Gemar Din? What does Gemar Din really do? Is it Mevarer, that which he was Chayiv all along? What? Or does it create the Din? Right? That's the question. Okay, but without getting involved in that, Pashup Shot is the Gemar Din creates the Din. You need a Gemar Din in order for the guy to be Chai of anything. It's not that he had like this Chai of Misa hanging over his head in the potential world, and then when the Gemar Din paskins that he's Chai of Misa, now it's just bringing it, it's being Yotze Min HaKoyach El HaPoel, you know, the whole Ramban in, by the Akedas Yitzchak. You know, you ever heard of Akedas Yitzchak? The binding of Isaac, right? So when Isaac was bound, so that's this Ata Yadati Kiri Elokim Ata. Now I know that you're a big Yerushalayim. Before I didn't know. So Ramban says, what? He didn't know he's Yerushalayim before? No, he knew he had the Koach in the potential world, but there's a concept in this world of bringing the Koach into the pole. This world is all about bringing out potential, right? The potential exists in the spiritual realms. We have to bring it into the physical realm. Okay, whatever. So is that maybe that's the pshat in Gemar Din? Really, he was always Chayiv Misa. The second you mechal Shabbos, you chayiv misa. But until the Beis Din gives the Gemar Din, it's not asim and yotzim in a koach el apol. Right? That's one way to look at it. Second way to look at it is no. You have a, you know, you're not chayiv anything. When Beis Din paskins on you that you're chayiv misa, now you're chayiv misa. Finished. It went from 0 to 60 in 1 second. That's the other way to look at it. So I'm looking at it from the second way. I'll bring back the first way a little later. But I'm looking at it from the second way. I think that's the much more posher way to look at things. Right? Yes?
It's 7 lines compared
Again, you need a holding cell for him. You need a place where we're going to go and be Mavara the Metzias.
Let's go to Bezdin.
Run to Bezdin? Let's say there's a long line. I'm saying, why when you kill someone nowadays, do they first put you in some temporary holding cell, then you get your bail hearing, then you get your this, then you get your that, and then they ship you upstate eventually. Why don't you just send you upstate? The answer is because there's a line. We got to be Mavara things. We need a place to keep you while we're being Mavara things. Well, that's Machlokas Rishonim. We just got done saying that, right? This is where I'm going. So this is why we do this. So anyway, let's figure this out now. Okay, so we're already starting to get on track here. Let's figure this out. If you hold that Tzachi of Misa Mamish, what case must we be talking about? We must be talking about when he's going to Beis Din. Good. Has to be if he already got his psak din. Your chayiv goes. So if you hold at that point, that's a chayiv misa. So now he's chayiv misa. Now we understand why. If the Gol Adam kills him, he's putter. Because he's chayiv misa. Okay. This has to be the second time around. Not like the Rambam and the Meiri. So why can the Ram and the Meiri say it's talking about the first time around? Because they don't hold that way anyhow. They don't hold that going to Golis constitutes a chi of Misa and you're now being protected from it. We've spoken this out at length. The Rambam has this whole shita that it's really Bikaro a Kapara. Right? Going back to what were some of the riyas that we had that it was a din Kapara, not a din Onesh. Because you can go to Golis for killing an Eved. You can go to Golis for killing a Ger Toshav. The Rambam treated the Havamin in the Gemara of you can go to Golis for hitting your father b'shogeg, right? So clearly the Rambam is working within the realm that it's a kapara. There's no onish going on here. So okay, the Rambam will say that if you're on your way to Golis, the Gol Adam is going to kill you because the Gol Adam is not a shliach Beis Din that's carrying out the psak of the Beis Din that you're chayav misa. You could argue no, the Gol Adam is the law of the jungle. Gol Adam is trying to exact his revenge upon you. So if you hold like the Rambam in general, you can say that we're even talking about the first time he went. So then the kasha is, so why is he putter? And the kasha against the Ritva is what? Why isn't it a mitzvah? / rishus. So you could say, okay, case closed. Rav Huna is passing like Rabbi Akiva. And he's telling you it's a Rishus. How come it doesn't say that in the Gemara? So by codifying everything and putting everything in its proper place, we've actually made more trouble. Because now we don't understand anything. All we've been able to figure out so far is why you can or cannot hold that it's the first time and the second time, or just the second time. If you hold that the Gol Adam killing him is carrying out a Mises Beis Din, so he has to first be Chayiv Mises Beis Din. Has to be the second time. So then if you hold that he's carrying out the Mises Beis Din, Rav Huna is getting involved in the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, because basically, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva are talking about a guy who leaves the Ir Miklat, right? He leaves the Ir Miklat, he's got a Chayiv Misa hanging over his head. So of course if he leaves the Ir Miklat, he's going to be killed. And the only machlokas is that a mitzvah or a rishus? Right? But if you say that the guy's not chayiv misa, so leaving the Ir Miklat, it's not that he has the same chayiv misa hanging over his head as before. Could be an all new thing. We don't know. So then they're going to argue mitzvah or rishus. So this going to Golis business is a totally different business. It's not the same case at all. Going to Golis is just this special din that Rav Huna is commenting on, that if the guy kills him, he's potter. So, why is he potter? He should be chayiv misa. The guy hasn't even been paskin yet that he has to go to Golis in the first case. He's just killing him? It's a crazy thing, no? So if you look in Rav Shmuel Rozovsky Shiurim, if you look in a lot of Achronish Sfarim, they'll tie it like this. Ein achinami, if you hold that it's the first time he was going to Golis, or even the second time, and you don't hold that, that going to Golis constitutes a chi of Misa. So what's the reason the guy's potter? Rav Huna is just telling you, we consider this guy like an onis. The Gol Adam is like Begeder Onis Rachmana Patre. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky quotes a pasuk. He's not the only one who does this. He quotes a pasuk, Ki Yecham Levavo. Right? It says that the Gol Adam, in the Torah, it says that he killed him. Why? Because he was so angry. He was just so angry at him, he could not kill him. So what does that mean? We don't have any Mefarshim on that pasuk. There's no drushes, there's no midrashim. I did a search on the computer. That's not a real drusha. But it's the Achronim's way of saying, that it's like he was honest. He couldn't control himself. And the closest thing to a drushes chazal about that is there is a tshuvas marach or zarua that quotes that lashon of the pasuk and talks about a different case. The Marivil quotes the marach or zarua as saying that if, let's say, there's a guy and one guy punches the other guy in the face and then the other guy curses him and calls him a mamzer, and he's very embarrassed now. All of a sudden, everybody takes him very seriously and thinks that maybe Hitaka is a mamzer and people are disgracing him because of it. Whatever, I don't know exactly what the metzias is, but he embarrassed. So the other guy wants him to pay boshes. He wants him to own up to the crime. So the marach or zeruah says he's not on the hook for it because it was done in out of rage for being hit. I won't go so far as Kanoim Pogim. I'm not going to say that, but it was done in rage, and therefore we view that as an onus, and we say onus rachmana patre on the money there. And he quotes the pasuk ki yecham levavo. So there is this concept that we somehow understand a guy who's just so enraged by some injustice that took place, he's going to be putter machmas onus rachmana patre. So therefore, if you argue like the Rambam or the Meiri that we're talking about the first time he goes to Golis, he's not even Chayiv Golis yet. He just has to go somewhere to hang out. And you hold that there's no Chi of Misa on the guy at all. And it's not no Geya to the Mishnah on Yad Alef Amid Beis, because that's talking about a penalty for leaving the Ir Miklat. So how is it that the guy's going to be putter for killing you? Onus Rachmana Patre. Is he a Rotzeach for killing you? Is the Gol Adam doing an act of murder? Absolutely. Again, the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is not Chayiv Misa. He's not even Chayiv Golis yet, really. And the Gol Adam is chasing him down and killing him. Why is he Pater? Onus Rachmana Patre. But he's a murderer. So what comes out is something very interesting. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky doesn't say this. I have no idea why, but I'm convinced that this is true. What comes out of this is something very interesting, is that the Gol Adam can kill the Rotzeach and get away with it. But if you see this happening, you can kill the Gol Adam, because he has no right to do this. He has no right to go kill the Rotzeach at this point. Not only that, all of the regular dinim of Ritzicha apply. For sure. He can defend himself against the Rotzeach. As we said before, we're going to have to deal with the question in general, can the Rotzeach defend himself against the Gol Adam? Pashtus is yes, right? Pashtus is yes. But that could be even afterwards. That could be even when the Gol Adam has Rishus to kill him. Here, the Gol Adam has absolutely no Rishus. Ten Commandments, Lo Sirtzach, right? He's violating one of the Ten Commandments. He's not going to be Chayav Misa for it. But that's a technical tour of Anas Rachmana Patre. Saying, but what comes out of this is a regular act of Ritzicha. Yeah.
This is going to be on the first stretch. For the second stretch, the Rambam already says that once basically is Mechayav Golos, that Mechayav Misa or something, whatever, the Gol Adam goes and kills him.
Right. Well, we're going to read the Rambam more carefully tomorrow. But the Rambam also says other things, which sounds like there's no difference between going to Golis the first time, going to Golis the second time. If the Rotzeach finds you and kills you, he's putter. But that's So now we have an answer. How could you have a putter aval aser midaraisa? Because the p'tur is unrelated to the iser. The iser is don't kill. The p'tur is aneser chalana patri. Nothing to do with one another. All right, so we'll have to work on this a little bit more. Ezras Hashem tomorrow. Okay, have a good day, guys.